Oh, I'm just so thankful to be here in America, looking at the rest of the world, what they're going through. And I would just give you my own personal word of caution about Israel, things that are going on around Israel. We don't know the truth. We don't know what the truth is. Just assume that everybody is lying about what's going on over there, and you'll be in probably a pretty good position. Israel lies, the Zionists lie, the Americans, our leaders lie. And I was reading, I think it was in Jeremiah the other day, about all the liars. No one tells the truth. That was going on when Israel was being taken captive by Babylon. The same thing was going on. Everybody's a liar. No truth. So, you know, when you're watching that news, just assume this is all a bunch of lies. We don't really know what's going on. So keep in mind Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. You know, that's all we can do. Set your affections on things above. Keep your eyes on Jesus, as the song says. We're going to continue today. It might be the last lesson in this series on the soul. I sent out some slides this morning, kind of late, but you might have gotten some slides by email to go along with this lesson. I'm just going to review a little bit what we've been talking about. I don't know how we got on this subject of the soul, but it's been a very interesting subject. You know, this is a topic that has eluded theologians and people of mythology for a long time. And it's been interesting. Just in review, you know, I think I was about when Paul said this immortal will put on immortality. So, and I'm thinking, well, what part of us puts on immortality? I know we don't believe in an immortal soul, but is there something there that's going to put on immortality? What is there possible to be an immortal soul for some people and not others? And what is the soul? You know, this is a word that people are so confused about, and they even try to combine the word soul and spirit interchangeably and use them interchangeably. And is the soul and the spirit the same? Are they different? We looked at some of those verses. We looked at what tradition has to say about the soul and what mythology has to say about the soul. Socrates thought the soul was something separate from the body and is immortal, and Plato added that the soul is eternal, even before and after the body, the soul is eternal. And we looked at that. A soul is something we have, not something we are. I mean, a soul is not something we have, it's something we are. We looked at those two combinations. Soul is life. Soul is the self, or self. When it says in the scripture, my soul, it means myself, me. It's talking about me. My soul is not something that I have. It's something I am. A soul is a person. And we looked at even those expressions like give up the ghost, where when it was talking about Christ, it was ekpineo, which is giving up the spirit. And where other people in Acts period, it was ek-suke, which is giving up the soul. So a lot of interesting things about this topic about the soul. And today we're going to look at, can the soul be rightly divided? Since we are students of the word rightly divided, and we like to adhere to the principle of right division and dispensational truth, we're going to look at some interesting aspects of the soul today. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, where we read, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper, two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that's an interesting verse. I'm sure you've read it many times, and I'm sure you've asked yourself, I wonder what that means, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. What does that mean? How can the Word of God separate the joints and marrow? If we look at this word, dividing asunder, in the Greek, it's 33:11, merismos. It's a separation. And that comes from the root word is merizo 33:07. Merizo, and I'm no Greek scholar, so I'm just reading this as I understand it, by the way. Merizo is to apportion, to disunite, to differ, to divide or give part. So here we have a verse that's talking about to divide the soul and spirit. The soul being psuche and the spirit being pneuma in the Greek. So apparently the soul and the spirit can be divided. It can be separated in some way. So they must mean different things. Well, let's go back to our foundation verses, Genesis 1:26. And here we read in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And about a year ago, I did a study on the sanctity of life, and we looked at this verse. And the image would be the physical image, or the body is a physical image of God. I'm not going to say the gods, because that sets some people's hair on fire, so I'm just going to say God. And after our likeness. And the spirit makes up the likeness. The spirit of God would be the likeness. So here we have man made up of the body and the spirit. And this is mankind in general. That word is Adam, mankind as a soul. Now in Genesis 2:7, we read, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I want to point out here in this verse the word man here. In the Companion Bible, it says this word man is Eth Ha-Adam. Eth Ha-Adam. This same man, Adam. So in this verse, God is speaking of a specific person, Adam. And he formed Adam of the dust of the ground, the dust being the body, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which would be the spirit of God, and man became a living soul. So we concluded from that verse, you could say that a living soul, by definition, is the dust plus the breath of life. And we're talking about Adam. The living soul of Adam is body and spirit. Body and spirit. Now this dust, if we look at several verses where the body is represented by different words. The body is, and I think Bullinger calls this his figure of speech, is called metonymy, where the body is represented by different words such as dust, earth, and ground. And I have listed on the slide several verses of those, and we can look at a few interesting ones, and ones we know for sure. For dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. In Genesis 3:19, we all know that verse by heart. Genesis 2:7, the dust of the ground. Genesis 2:19, out of the ground he created the soul, the man. In Psalms 104:29, it talks about returning to their dust. So the body is dust, returning to the dust, and returning to his earth in Psalm 146:4. And so there are several verses there. You can look them up if you have the slides there, where the word body is represented by other words from which it is made, is from which it is created. So from this we conclude, and here's where we need to understand these two verses in Genesis. Adam was created in the image and the likeness of God, a soul. Adam was created with the body and the spirit of God, a soul, I believe. But when Adam sinned, something happened. When Adam sinned, something changed. And I believe it was his spirit that was changed. His body didn't change, but his spirit changed. And mankind in general is created in the image of God, but in the likeness of Adam. And that's how it was described, the birth of Seth. He was made in the image of, in the likeness of Adam. So men are created with a body, but not with the spirit of God. Ronnie alerted to this a few minutes ago in his study. And we're not born saved. We're not born with the spirit of God. We're born with the spirit of the world in our body. We're not sanctified until we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, till we acknowledge that and believe it. So we are born a natural person. A baby is born a natural human being with a body and a spirit, but that spirit is of the world until it is changed to become sanctified. So the spirit of man needs to be reconciled, and we talked about reconciliation, how Christ reconciled the world to himself on the cross. And the spirit of man needs to be sanctified, which is sanctified by, again, by the blood of Christ. So the spirit needs to return to the likeness of God, which means to become sinless like Adam was in the beginning, and to have eternal life, which would be in the likeness of the gods. They're eternal. When the spirit is sanctified, then the body is sanctified. The body can only be sanctified through the spirit. And thus the whole person, the soul, becomes sanctified. So the sanctity of life is through Christ Jesus. Reconciliation comes by Christ Jesus when he shed his blood on the cross. Everybody has been reconciled. The world has been reconciled. Christ died for the world. Every sin in the world has been forgiven. It's just that only those who believe it and who acknowledge it and walk in that newness of life actually obtain it. Many, many, many people will live and die never believing in Christ and therefore never fulfill the reconciliation or their sanctification. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Because of unbelief, not all souls become reconciled or sanctified. It's just simply unbelief. So, some souls have a Holy Spirit, and some souls have an evil spirit. So all souls have a body, but some souls have a different kind of a spirit. There could be a spirit or evil spirit of God, spirit of Satan, spirit of the world. We turn to 1 John 6:3, I believe that is. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. And Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So, we once had that spirit of the children of disobedience. So there's scriptures here that show that there are different kinds of spirits. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is a verse we looked at before. This is the only verse in the scripture that has the body, soul, and spirit together in one verse. And it reads, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way Bullinger explains this verse with his little structure is interesting. And I understand that sometimes trying to understand these body, soul, and spirit is like trying to understand the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around this. But Bullinger shows that the whole person, one part of it, spirit, pneuma, and the whole person, the living soul, the other part, body, soma. So, he shows that the soul is the spirit plus the body. And Paul even breaks it down to the soul is a spirit plus the flesh. We looked at many verses before where Paul talked about the spirit and the flesh. There was three in Romans 8:4, 8:5, and 8:13. And there were in 1 Corinthians 5:5 and 2 Corinthians 7:1, Galatians 3:3, 5:17, and 6:8. So Paul breaks down the soul as containing the spirit and the flesh. So some souls will always have the spirit that they were born with in the flesh. They will never change. Some souls will replace that spirit with the Holy Spirit of God. Some souls were chosen out from before the foundation of the world. Some souls were chosen since the foundation of the world. from or since the foundation of the world. I think that's something we understand as the members of the body of Christ. Some souls will be counted righteous because of their faith in God. Some souls will be sanctified through the faith of Christ. Some souls will be granted eternal life for their belief in the Son of God. And some souls will identify with Christ in all aspects of his work. And then we have another aspect of the word soul. Instead of spirit and body, it's also referred to as the inward man and the outward man. In Matthew 23:27, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So we have this outward appearance and this inward hypocrisy. 1 Peter 3:3 is another good verse on this. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even ornate of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So he's talking about a woman here, and it's called the hidden man of the heart. That inward spirit, that inward part of the body. The outward adorning of plating and hair is the body. The inward hidden man of the heart is inward. Romans 2:28-29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, yet neither circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the, by the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Then we turn to Job 38:36. He asked the question, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. 2 Corinthians 4:16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Romans 7:22 says, for I delight in the law after the inward man. Ephesians 3:16, it says we are to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And Colossians 1:11 adds to that, saying, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So we have this aspect of the soul being expressed as an inward man and an outward man. Inward and outward. And I think we all have read this many times, the first chapter of Ephesians, where it's almost incomprehensible what the Lord has done for us. and I'm going to read sort of my paraphrase of it. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who having blessed us with every blessing that is spiritual in heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in Christ before that we should be holy and blameless in his sight. This is an awesome passage beyond our comprehension. Believe that every soul exists throughout eternity. And they pretty much got that from Socrates and Plato. So let's see. Not all children of God were chosen before the overthrow of the world. Not all children of God are accepted into the beloved body of Christ. So back to Socrates, he believed that the body and the soul are separate and that the soul is immortal. He's a pretty deep thinker. Some of you guys are pretty deep thinkers as well. Another deep thinker, Plato, added that the soul is eternal and exists before and after the body. It's never the right to divide this idea. The body. Because the body is part of the soul. About one of the previous messages. Are the source and cause of physical things. The spiritual world is the world of causes, and the natural chain, 45 through 46. As soon as I find that, I'm going to read that verse. 15, 45 to 46. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Well, that's apparent truth. But we can contend that the last Adam existed before the first Adam. Christ was before ordained before the overthrow of the world to be a lamb slain before Adam was ever created. So we can say that the last Adam existed before the first Adam. The spiritual, the quickening spirit, existed before the natural man. So could it be that the spiritual body of Christ existed before the natural body of Israel, the body of the flesh, Israel? In other words, the spiritual body of Christ was chosen before Israel was chosen in the flesh. So this is something pretty deep to think about, but Could the members of the body of Christ have existed in some form, in other words, spiritual without the flesh, in the mind of God, before the overthrow of the world? And I'm sure you've thought about this. I know I have. How did God know us? How did God choose us? The overthrow of the world. Were we there in some spiritual form? Oh, it's awesome to think about how we have been chosen and what we have been given, because we were chosen in Christ. What does that mean? We were chosen in Christ before the overthrow of the world. Does that mean we were in Christ back then? Have we always been in Christ? We'll be in Christ for eternity? This makes you think that something there could exist before and after the body, the physical body. Could it be that those who understand and acknowledge the mystery of the body of Christ were reconciled to God when we were chosen out before the overthrow of the world, before Adam was created, before Adam sinned? Were we already reconciled? Could it be that our reconciliation became complete? That apokatalasso we talked about, that's only in the prison epistles. It's only concerning the one new man. Could it be that our reconciliation became complete unto God by the cross? Ephesians 2:16, and the body of his flesh through death. Colossians 1:21 and 22. So the soul can be rightly divided in some ways. There's a lot more to this than we can comprehend, I'm sure. We've just touched on the tip of the iceberg here as far as what is the soul. These are my thoughts. These are what the Holy Spirit is teaching me, and I'm just sharing with you. Now, you can agree or disagree. That's fine. But this subject of the soul has been a mystery to mankind for a long time. And I'm hoping that I'm trying to understand what the soul is and what it comprises of. And it seems that Scripture does support the idea of the inward man, the outward man, the spirit and the flesh, the soul and the body, and many, many scriptures. That idea is supported, and I hope I've just helped you to begin to understand and seek this out and search it out for yourself. Be good Bereans. Check the scriptures to see if these things be so. And with that, I am going to end our lesson for today with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your infinite wisdom and understanding. We have been given the spirit of wisdom and a revelation of knowledge of you. And the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened day by day as you teach us you have with this group. And each one of them is a blessing to us. And we thank you for that. We thank Chico for doing the posting today so that all can see your scriptures. And Lord, we just ask that you bless each and every one of us, that we go forward in your truth, and that we can make known to all the saints the mystery of the body of Christ, in what time we have left on this earth. And as we wait, looking and waiting for your glorious appearing, which we hope will come soon, in Christ's name we pray, amen.